First off, guys, hi and welcome again to the Humble Coach Podcast. My name is Pádraic. I am joined today after a little bit of a hiatus the last couple of weeks by Jamie Lawler, who owns CrossFit Swords. So, Jamie, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me, Pádraic.
Cool. So, Jamie has, I think, grown in stature a lot because of his really, really good work with his own gym, CrossFit Swords, and then with association with a lot of good, strong competitions and charity events recently in the last few years. And it's going to be really interesting to have a chat with you, Jim. But could you give us a little bit of background on how you got into coaching or what you would have been doing before you got into coaching potentially?
Yeah, sure. So I found CrossFit through martial arts. I was training for MMA. Started seeing some crazy videos online, the usual story. Started seeing kind of crazy outputs people were doing with barbells and pull-ups, stuff that people in the fighting world weren't really even doing. So I was very intrigued, started testing it out for my own training. Eventually, like, just pretty much co-opted it fully for my own conditioning. Found it worked really well. At the time, I was a personal trainer. I had been for the last, like, 8 years or so. Started using it with my clients, and the results were just insane immediately. It's kind of a funny time because I was training for fighting, getting injured a lot in that training, and ended up, like, for 2 years pretty much getting injured every time I was doing hard sessions, and then having to take a break. And it was CrossFit sessions that actually got me back into training every time. So eventually, after 2 years of that, I was like, maybe it's time to knock the fight in the head and go all the way into CrossFit. And then that's around 2009. Open CrossFit Swords then 2012, and yeah, haven't looked back since then.
Great stuff. And you're saying you were working as a PT and kind of a trainer before that, for a number of years.
Yeah.
Similar to myself, I was just training in a few different places before finding CrossFit. And how did you find that? Were you into fighting from a younger age and kind of interested in getting into coaching kind of young enough, or were you a bit more interested in, I suppose, like, just because you were into fitness and into sports in general, you wanted to kind of go, okay, well, look, I'm gonna try and make a bit of money out of this as well.
So I left school sport obsessed. Not quite knowing what to do with myself. Ended up doing a fitness instructor course. And I'd already been coaching a little bit of kickboxing part-time. And once I did the course, I went working in the gym for like 2 months and then got hired to be a full-time kickboxing coach. I did that then from about age 20 up to like 28. So I was full-time coaching all the way up through, and have been since. The teaching side of it just always fascinated me. I just love the challenge of communicating the movements, and especially in martial arts, so much complex movement. It's a lot of fun to teach and to coach. So that's the background, really.
Cool. And I suppose, like, that, it just that would lend itself nicely, I think, into CrossFit. I think that's one of the reasons why, like, my background would be in boxing. And boxing coaching quite a bit as well. And I think it's because the intricacies of some of the sports that we've been involved in, CrossFit's an interesting one to kind of go towards.
For sure. Itself,
which is interesting. Have you any particular kind of favorite style of coaching? I suppose I'm a bit of a messer on this, but would you be of the CAM and kind of Buddhist monk style, or are you a bit more energetic, in your face, kind of shouty and roary kind of coaching?
I suppose it just depends on the situation, right? I mean, in a class situation, I think your energy has to be high. You have to drive the energy of the group. But I suppose the majority of my coaching these days takes place in small conversations around the classes. So I try and make myself available before and after class as much as I can, so that we can have the small conversations about what the goals are and how the training's fitting into that, and or if there's movement issues people want to sort out. So I think the shouting is useful every now and again, But I think if you overuse it, it kind of gets blunt. It gets very blunt very quickly. People just kind of roll the eyes very quickly. So we try to avoid it as much as I can.
Good stuff, yeah. I think that's the same. Like, I would notice the same in our own classes and in general from the... And we'll delve into it a little bit more when we talk about some of the competitors' kind of orientation and a little bit of a different style potentially needed with them, but not a spectacular different style either. It still has to come back to those kind of simple enough conversations of being very present when somebody has an issue, and if it needs to be addressed, it's addressed in a very personal way rather than just a generic kind of cue or something like that kind of thrown in and thrown to the group, so to speak. But I think that's where especially as CrossFit or as our kind of functional fitness world is generally getting a lot more different, people who would not have been exposed to any kind of CrossFit before at all, and they're only kind of still just coming new to it, they'd sometimes expect a kind of boot camp heavy duty kind of style or a go go go, and so it can take a little bit of time and be a bit strange to get comfortable with the one to one kind of conversations quite a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I do find though that I think over the last year or so anyway, people are coming in much more open to coaching than they used to be. I think there was always that sense that people coming in saying, "What the hell? Why are you teaching me how to squat? Is it not just squatting?" Yeah. And now these days, I think they're a little bit more awake to it. Mm-hmm. So they're coming in open to it, which is really helpful, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose the next one then, kind of just following on a little bit from that and just going into the methods of coaching and whether you have a preferred kind of style. I know I'm terrible for little anecdotes and relating certain movements to anecdotes of in a strange kind of way sometimes, so that people might kind of pick up on exactly how to put certain movements into place or into practice, be it quite verbal or would you be quite verbal or would you be quite nearly more, I suppose, more visual oriented in your descriptions, or are you a bit more a fan of like tactile cues, like getting hands on and actually pushing people into positions, so to speak, or at least trying to get them into those positions with a bit of confident awareness?
I suppose my general approach is always to get them to understand the movement more than just how to do it.
Yeah.
So it's quite verbal then, in just explaining the concepts, and then once you get down to the teaching of it, it starts becoming much more physical. People are seeing what you can demonstrate and whatever else you need to do. But I think the understanding is huge. If people get it, then the cues then become more effective, because they understand what they're trying to achieve. And if you just shout knees out at them, they understand that it comes from the hip and whatnot, because they have a broader context. They have a deep understanding from the start. So that's my approach. Our classes, at the moment, we only do a workout a day. We don't do strength portion at the start.
Okay.
And we did that so that we could spend more time teaching the movements and like explaining the reasons behind them and getting a lot of practice done before they go into the workouts.
So
there's quite a lot of conversation as we're doing our warm-ups and our movement. So quite a lot of verbal stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's interesting. I think I know a lot of places will still do that, and I know we do similar-ish to an extent, but I suppose we in CrossFit Galway here, we adjust our programming quite a bit, and we've had different phases over the last few months of specific priorities, but we've gone back to a much more general kind of not necessarily a .com, but definitely a little bit more .com style of class structure. And it's been interesting because it's definitely exposing people to a lot more interesting stuff. And some people like a lot more strength work. Some people like a lot more loads and loads of gymnastics. But I think the mixture is the reason why it works so well.
Yeah, I mean, we used to do 90-minute classes. Yeah. We did that for like 18 months. We used to do 30 minutes of skill, movement skill. We did 30-minute strength, 30-minute workout. And what we saw was a lot of people's movement skill came up an awful lot, so people got moved better, they got stronger.
Yeah.
But what we did see is that the workout of the day, the actual CrossFit workout, was getting simpler and simpler.
Yeah.
And it started turning into just a strength and conditioning class. So we made it Yeah, like we moved back much closer to CrossFit over the last year. We dropped the strength work, and the difference has been massive. We've been really, really happy with the results. I think the vibe in the classes are better. The PRs keep rolling in, funnily enough, so people are getting stronger. But what has disappeared is people maybe overdoing it, and the little niggles and the little, you know, sore knees and sore hips and those little things that show up have largely disappeared because people are managing their load a lot better as well. So I think it's worked very well for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that's one thing I've thought about a lot more recently in the last kind of 6 to 12 months or so, and just analyzing a little bit more. We had a change in, not necessarily a massive change in membership, but a few of our more experienced people moved away, and we got a lot of more new people in, and people that would just, we would have a good, consistent membership, which would have been here for 2 or 3 years, maybe even a little bit longer potentially, and not necessarily to let them get stale, but they're now even pushing back up with their PBs and stuff like that. But even if they have been looking for different strength work before and different things like that, but the simplicity of it, I think, and actually orienting it towards the, and I think even the interest levels can stay quite high when they have one big event to look forward to rather than lots of little events. But also just like, okay, well, I might not be the biggest person in the world, and I may not really want to get an awful lot stronger. I'm kind of relatively strong. I want to get a bit leaner. I want to actually have a bit of fun with it, which I think is a big, big part of it. I think that's where that approach can be interesting, rather than the big kind of generic dun 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 kind of one. It can be challenging, all right. We'll have a look at the next one, I suppose. From my perspective, now I'm kind of interested. We recently had you guys down for one of our competitions, and you've been really good supporters of our competitions. But you seem to have a very strong competitors group at the moment. And I just wondered if you could could talk about that a little bit, or have you had a particular orientation towards it in the last couple of years specifically, or has it just kind of organically grown and you've had some good success with that?
Yeah, so the competitive team is sort of comes from my enthusiasm for the sport, right? So I love the sport side of it. And over the last maybe 18 months, I think it's only now that I'm starting to figure out where it fits in the big picture of the business, where it fits in the environment, in the gym itself, and how to sort of separate it in a healthy way, so it's not creating divisions, and that the competitive team can get what they need, right? Mm-hmm. It was a big challenge. Like, we had a competitive program for the last couple of years, we had varying success with it. Mm-hmm. But I suppose what we've managed to do this year was clearly define the goal of the competitor group, clearly define the goal of the classes, mm-hmm. and then separate it very, very clearly. While also keeping everybody in the gym, keeping the community very together. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it took us a long time to get there, but I think we have the formula much better now than we used to. And what it really came down to was, I suppose in the classes, like we just talked about, we went back to just doing one class a day. And the reason, or sorry, just doing one workout and not doing strength work. The big reason for us to doing that was to define the group goal as we want to improve our fitness, health, and longevity. And once you have the health and longevity in there, it sort of tempers the fitness a little bit. You know, as the fitness gets more extreme, we kind of start moving away from health at some point. Absolutely. So I suppose our goal used to be to try and RX workouts. Yeah. I mean, and if you're trying to RX workouts, then you need to get a lot stronger. You need to do a lot of extra work. Exactly. And once we moved away from that and saying that we just want to get fitter and healthier and have better longevity in the long term, it allowed us then to look at the competitor group and say, your goal is only to win competitions. Yeah. And there was no, there's no gray area in between. Mm-hmm. Now that meant we did a few things. We We used to have the competitor program separate to the classes, so they'd have their workouts and the class would have theirs. We have basically moved the whole competitor program back into classes. Mm-hmm. So they do the class workout every day, just the same as everyone else. They might do an RX Plus version of it, but they do it. It means that everybody stays together and everyone can, you know, right after the workout, chat about how awful it was and whatnot. And then it also we also then around that program, all their strength and accessory work. So that was the first thing we did, and it's really worked well. We really believe strongly that a lot of the fitness progress takes place in a class environment, in a group, not going off into the corner doing a workout on your own. Right. So that was the first thing. The other big thing was clearly defining the parameters for the competitor program and saying, if you want to go on this, there is a certain amount of commitment you're going to need to show. Yeah. Right. So we've laid out three very clear rules. Yeah. And if you want to join, there's a long conversation about whether or not you can or want to commit to it. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, one of the big things we ran into was frustration. If some of the competitors weren't putting in the effort we thought they were, they should do. Mm-hmm. And I think this happens a lot with competitors, the coaches. Yeah. So I think it probably, when I look back, I probably wasn't clear enough with my expectations of them. Mm-hmm. They were doing their best without enough clarity about what was expected of them. Mm-hmm. And it's only when we really define that things have really moved forward at a much faster rate. And having that structure and those parameters saying, if you want on this program, this is what we expect. I mean, we've had plenty of people come to us, mm-hmm. say, I'm thinking about joining the competitor program. Yeah. And after half an hour conversation, you're like, no, thank you. That's fine. Exactly. I go back to my classes. I'm quite happy just getting fitter and moving forward. I didn't realize it was that serious, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
so I think it's just about being much clearer and what we're looking for from the athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a really good way of doing it. I know a number of places and what we ourselves have toyed with that. We've toyed with the conversation of an extra program on top of the regular classes and a separate class and this and this. And now we're just like, we've added in a level 2 class, but it's essentially just a higher expectation class, or it's where the more competitive oriented people regularly kind of come in. So it's an incidental session, so to speak, but it doesn't mean that we're going to deny anybody else a particular spot in that class or anything that course. But like you guys were doing there, we have a little bit more RX Plus work in there. It's pushed other people on while like that. Those are the people that you can tell are committed to it and have almost just accepted that they are, when there's going to be competitions coming up and stuff, they have an interest in it. Like they utilize it as their sport. And I think, I know we have one youngish kind of guy, and he's, I remember we had him in the CrossFit Kids a few years back, and he's been steadily kind of building up, and now he's kind of, well, he's just gone 18 there earlier in the year, and now is making considerable progress. Like he's always top 3, top 4 in the workouts, is holding his own, but also spends, without any real over-the-top pushing from ourselves as coaches, he comes in 25 minutes before class, does his bit of extra work, always spends that bit of extra 15, 20 minutes after class practicing bits and pieces, getting frustrated, the whole lot. He's probably one of the outliers potentially, but like that, if we had a conversation with some other people and we're like, okay, do you guys want to go competitive? And they exactly like you had your one or two people there, they come back and go, I'm kind of fine, thanks for the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like any sport. If you want to, especially in CrossFit, like the demands are so high. Yeah. If you want to be competitive at all, the amount of volume you have to put in, it's just insane. Just to try and keep up with people, it's the level is getting higher and higher every year. Yeah. Tell me this, with that level 2 class, do you find that the atmosphere is different in it?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's we've only kind of recently enough started now, to be fair. We've only kind of got the last month or so, maybe 2 months. And even still, we've actually moved the time around a little bit because it wasn't suiting certain people in here and there. And it was a bit of a mixed bag because we're adjusting some of the timetable ourselves. So I wouldn't be able to give a distinct answer on it yet, but I don't think it makes a big difference. Like, we are always quite open to, if somebody cannot make another class, we're like, look, you just come in on a Wednesday night or something like that. We're not gonna, like, I'm personally not gonna bust somebody's chops. I'm gonna say to them at the start, I'm gonna go, look, this is a bit more of a, I suppose, more challenging kind of class, or at least I will have a more, not more demanding tone, but I'll have a more energetic tone potentially, about expectations, and we'll speak in a little bit of a different way potentially about some of the technicalities. Whereas if somebody new comes into the class, I'm not gonna completely block them and go, look, you can't do this, but I'm just gonna, it's gonna make them quite aware that, like, there is a difference between your, like you were saying, your health and longevity orientation and your competitive orientation. And like, I think going to any kind of particular sport, be it soccer or Gaelic or something like that, and if you come in, like, anyone, I use an example of like Boxercise. Anybody can go to a Boxercise class and kind of get some good fitness out of it. But if you step into the ring, which we would have done, it's a very different kettle of fish. And if you're going to be training for it, there's a big, big
Yeah,
difference in the mentality needed for it.
that's a great analogy. That's perfect. That's exactly it. Yeah, and I do think because we measure all of our workouts, even in classes, we have a score at the end. I think the lines can get blurred very easily. Like, are we
Absolutely, yeah.
training to get better here, or are we competing? And completely changes the stimulus. So, Alex, like making that clear distinction this year has made a huge difference for us.
Yeah, I think.
Both the classes and the competitors, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good way. I think that's a very interesting direction, and I think it is a very positive direction. I think that's where you could find a lot of other places, considering that kind of a structure. I think even having looked at some of the kind of higher level coaches in CrossFit or in your general fitness world, and there is a lot more of that, of like the acceptance that the competitive orientation has to have different rules, and there has to be a different commitment level to it, kind of non-negotiable, really. Have you found any issues, obviously, with you've got some very strong young athletes, and then some more of the kind of senior athletes and stuff as well. Have you found it anyway difficult to kind of get them on board, or has it been easy enough to actually nearly get your kind of more mature weekend warriors kind of in on the competitive end, as well as your younger kind of crew actually making it their sport?
Yeah, well, it's funny. The younger ones, I almost find that they are only interested in sports. You know, it's like they come from every activity they do is almost around sport. So when they come into CrossFit and they see that they can compete, it's essentially all they want to do is like, okay, I want to get better toes to bar. I want to be able to beat people in workouts because that's all they see is the win or the loss. We are doing our best to try and get away from the outcome, focusing on the results with the young people, but at the same time, their enthusiasm for us is phenomenal. They are getting really good, really fast. So I hate killing enthusiasm too. So there's a balance to be struck with there. So you're always trying to remind them that we're here to get better, not here to win, and that the result is not the only important thing here. But at the same time, that is where their buzz is at. So I think it's important to go with the buzz when they have it. It's, you know, especially if we're managing their training load so they're staying healthy, you know.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one. Like, we've got a few characters as well like that, and I think I noticed a few different places around the world and around the country especially that have a lot of strong younger members and athletes, and like they're making some serious progress. And I think that's where it's just a case of making sure that there's some good, healthy, quality conversation going on with these kids. And I think it's very, like you said earlier on, it's a very interesting time in the next couple of years with CrossFit, because you're going to find now, well, I think we find already a lot more people that are parents that are interested in getting their children into a different sport potentially than your generic GAA or your whatever. And it's going to be an interesting conversation about the level of challenge the CrossFit is, compared to just a quite a straightforward type sport, because it's such a mixed modal sport, it can be really, really taxing on a young person's body. But it's also extremely healthy, I think, to have a nice kind of a nice progressive mentality towards it.
Yeah,
Some of the parents, I think it's going to be an interesting kind of few years.
but I think what I'm seeing with the teenagers, the young teenagers, that it's kind of a funny one. I've always been always erring on the side of caution, obviously. Like we I want to underload them rather than overload them. But what I do find is with like with Marina, for instance, like Marina's snatching 46 kilos and she's 13 years of age. She's clean and jerking 60, and you're looking at her like she's like some sort of a superhero moving around the gym. And you have to remind yourself that she's young, and she does remind you all the time by just walking up to you and saying, "I'm tired," and you go, "Okay, well, don't do any more then." Like she just tells you right out, "I'm tired now." Okay, well, go and you know, sit on your phone for a while. Because she does train with the competitive group, but she will do on days when she's feeling good, she'll do pretty much everything on it, and then other days she'll come in and she'll squat and she'll say, "Yeah, I think I'm cooked." And you go, "Okay, cool." You know, and you just let her sort of dictate to a point. There are days where she's being lazy and she needs to kick up the backside for sure, but
Absolutely.
Most days she's working hard, her attitude's in a great place, and I find that most of the teenagers are the same thing. You'll see their energy, you'll see their shoulders slump under a bit tired, like, okay, leave them be there, you know?
I think that's really, I think it's a really interesting conversation, kind of conversation at the moment like that. We would have some experience with some of the younger. We've implemented a teens program in the last year or so, and they've just made huge, huge progress. But even still, I took one of the classes the other day. One of our coaches is on holidays, and they're still extremely shy and extremely tentative, but they're still distinctly teenagers throughout. So they still have some odds and ends going on, and I think it's if anything, CrossFit can be very helpful. It just means that there's a little bit more variety in their world, in their fitness world at least, which is really nice.
I tell you what a huge advantage for the likes of Marina and her brother Sean. The two of them are just really talented young people, but their dad trains with them every day, and having that support as the coach, like I've got another person there who is just as concerned about their well-being, but also doesn't want them to miss an opportunity in the sport because they've got opportunities in the future. Having that extra voice there is absolutely priceless. So whenever teenagers come in, and if their parents are at all interested, I try and get them working together wherever possible, because it's a huge advantage to have that extra resource there. Because Gavin is brilliant. He's the most competitive person I've ever met, but he's not a pushy asshole with his kids. Like he's pushing them on, but he's always aware of him not driving them too hard as well. So it's great to have.
Yeah, awesome. I suppose we'll kind of move on a little bit. Like you've recently, and I suppose I'm gonna kind of pull the end of it a little bit on the last couple of questions that I normally would regularly do. Back in a little bit early, so. You've recently done a little bit of traveling. I know we were speaking before about having you went to see Kelly Starrett, and you went to spend some time with them guys at Mobility Wad. Then you spent a little bit of time with Bergeron and Ben Bergeron. How have you found the experiences of those kind of trips for your own coaching development? Really, really good, or was it what you expected them to be potentially?
So I mean, as I said, I've been coaching full time for best part of 18 years now. So I've done loads of courses and seminars and weekends here and there, and I had sort of given up because I found that a lot of the places I was going is like it's a lot of filler, and you're spending 2 days for maybe half an hour of value. So I kind of just saying, you know, something I need to just stop going to these things. But then when the Ben Bergeron thing came up. I jumped at it because obviously Ben has done everything from a really successful affiliate. He runs courses on how to run affiliate excellence, and then he's also on the competitive end has climbed the mountain. So it's he had pretty much was like, here's a guy who has pretty much achieved all the goals I've set for myself, When the chance to go over there, spend 2 days just watching them work and ask the questions and all that came up, it was huge. And it was probably the most valuable 2 days I've spent anywhere. It was phenomenal. And came home, immediately made changes in the gym as a result. Yeah. So that was massively valuable. So definitely the best couple of days I spent. The Kelly Surratt one then, since I've started, mm-hmm. I've used Kelly's kind of framework for teaching movement, yeah. more than the mobility stuff, like more than the rolling and smashing and the banded distraction and all that. It, his approach to movement archetypes is always what I found more interesting. Mm-hmm. And we use it in our classes every day. Like what is a stable hip? What is a stable foot? That sort of thing. I think he communicates it brilliantly. I think it allows me to communicate easier after listening to him, to our client. And so our members now have an understanding of where their foot should be when they're squatting, where their knee, where their hips are, where the tension should be, where it should be relaxed. And that's largely down to what I've learned from following Kelly for the last few years. So I had done the mobility 101 seminar over in Philadelphia a few years ago. The one this year was the follow-up course in Munich, the 102. So they kind of went straight to a bit of deeper stuff. And when he was teaching classes, like I need to go home and do that. So it was, came back. What that gave me was a reminder to double down on mechanics more than anything else. Like if we go mechanics first, over intensity, over all those things, you can't go wrong. And really another really really good course, so I recommend both of them.
Great stuff. And have you I know you've got a big competition coming up soon, so you might be leaving some of the the education on the back burner for just the next couple of months potentially. With the Filthy 150. So just to give some perspective on that to anybody listening, for me the Filthy 150 is I know I've when you guys kind of got it going in 2000, was it 13, 12, 13, I think maybe?
13, yeah.
13, yeah. There was what, 5, 7, maybe something like that, gyms involved. I remember seeing you guys.
It was 6, yeah. 6 gyms.
Whereas now, what are you guys up to on the numbers for the Filthy 150, which is a fantastic looking competition?
Yeah, it was over 80 last year. So it'll be something similar this year. Nice. So it's a big broad range of gyms, like from affiliates to non-affiliates, which has always been the case. It's a big competition. We had over 1,000 athletes there last year. This year we reduced it down because the programming side of it last year was really restrictive, trying to get through all those athletes. There's only a certain amount of things you can do. There's so many things you can't. The idea this year was to reduce the number of teams so we can make the workouts a little bit more interesting. We did a lot of synchro stuff last year. That was to get through all the athletes. I thought that was an interesting challenge, but kind of annoying for a lot of people, difficult to judge. So this year, we'll do a little bit of it, but not much. It won't feature all that much. We also are lucky enough to have a good range of equipment this year. So things people that might not have tried in competition before, like the true form runners, things like that. The obstacle course should be fun. It's shaping up to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually programming it at the moment. Nice. It's nearly done, and we're just testing some things at the moment. Nice. And hopefully we can start releasing some workouts soon.
Super good stuff. And you have a great range of kind of high level CrossFit celebrities or figures or athletes, I think, as well, kind of popping over and stuff. So there's some really really interesting people coming over for that. Some great
I'll tell you, the interest has been huge. Like Carrie Pierce coming over for us, she kind of got the ball rolling. She said, nice. I'd love to go over because you're raising money for Special Olympics. I'd love to come over and just be at the event to help out. But she's like, I'll come over and judge, I'll do whatever you like. So that was really cool. And then, from there, there's just been loads of people getting in touch, which, believe me, you'll be hearing about in the next few days. There's definitely more to come. So the idea now will be have some sort of an exhibition workout with all the games and regional athletes, like Jamie Green and Elliot coming over as well. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Nice. I think there's a, like, the main thing about the Filthy is that there's a place for everybody. There's, if you're a beginner, you're intermediate, or you're advanced, you can get involved. And it's just that time, that weekend of the year where everyone gets together. And should have a good weekend, yeah.
Super stuff. I suppose the last kind of question I have on coaching in general, and I'm a bit of a book fan or an audiobook fan, and I'm kind of digging into it a lot more these days. Do you have anything in particular you are reading at the moment, or listening to, or podcasts, or any coaches that you would recommend, rather than the likes of Bergeron, like that? Any kind of secrets that we need to know about that we're missing out on?
I'm not sure about secrets, but in terms of books, so one of the ones I read, this two actually that Ben Bergeron recommended that were really big for in terms of business side of things. So one of them was The Ideal Team Player, it's called. In relation to hiring coaches. Ben Bergeron said it's the only thing he uses. It's his Bible. He follows that. So I read it immediately after he told me, and I was hiring at the time, funnily enough. And as soon as I read it, sort of looked at, I suppose, maybe some past hires that didn't work out and my hiring process. And it was instantly clear what went wrong before and what I need to do now. And the decision, it made the decision very easy. So that was really cool. The other one is Traction. It's very businessy type, but it's about setting goals and getting some clear direction for the gym. It's out of that the setting the core value that Ben Bergeron talks about comes from. Once we've done that at the gym, it has been a game changer. Something so general like that. So that's another great book. And then in terms of the coaching itself, like, you can't go wrong with Mindset by Carol Dweck. It's a brilliant book. She's done the decades of research. So I love that book. Was there any more? That's all that's coming to mind now at the moment.
Well, good stuff. No, they're awesome books like that. I've read Carol Dweck's book. It's a fantastic book. And I think I'm about a third, maybe a half the way through Traction. I've kind of left it a little bit here and there because there was a couple of other ones kind of popped in. But The Ideal Team Player, I must have a look for that as well, and I'll get on the ball.
Yeah. In relation to Traction, there's a worksheet you can do online. iOS Worldwide, I think it's called. iOS Worldwide. And that is basically, like Ben Bergeron said, just go and do the worksheet. Even if you never read the book, that's where all the value is. Nice. So I read the book and then did that. And yeah, it's been really helpful. That's one way of tackling it.
Nice, awesome. Well, Jamie, that's fantastic. We're gonna leave it there if that works for you. I'm gonna add some links up to the Podbean to the podcast show notes, and hopefully we'll have a. Hopefully, I'll see you guys very very soon up at the Filthy 150. And in the meantime, the best of luck with your. With your classes, your members, you've a great gym going up there in CrossFit Swords. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. And before I go, I just want to say fair play to you for doing the podcast. I think it's a big move. I think there's definitely room for more people to put their work out there. I think it's really cool what you're doing. So just keep it up.
Nice. Thanks, man. Cheers. Really appreciate that.
Cheers, man.
It's a nice little hobby to have, and it's for me. It's a really great way of good education and getting to really chat to some brilliant, brilliant people. So appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Great stuff.
Nice work.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon.